can't do it, that I can't lose weight and that I'm going to be stuck. And I think that I keep, one of the reasons why I keep thinking that is because I look at, like, I'm in the medical field and I look at data that says people who lose gain it back and that.
Oh, so you're going to go by the data that I completely proved wrong. Rather than looking at the successful people, you're going to go and look at data of the unsuccessful people. Mm-hmm. That must be. That's a decision. Mm-hmm. Do you want to be part of the 5% or do you want to be part of the 95% is the question.
Right. Yeah, I want to be part of the 5%.
Okay, and then let's decide to do that rather than to be like, well.
Right. That's a better decision.
Yeah, and that's all it is. I decided I wasn't going to be part of the 95%.
Right.
That's all that happened.
And I think that then I'll have moments of, yes, I can do this. And I'm about 3/4 of the way through Marie Forleo's book. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about, like, when I read the part about writing down fears, like I fear... I wrote down, I fear not being able to keep weight off and continuing this cycle of losing weight and then gaining it back.
Yeah, but that's still a decision that you'll make. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Would you rather be somebody who loses weight and gains weight and eventually sometime and in the future, you keep it all off? Or do you want to be the kind of person who doesn't do it at all and has no chance of ever losing the weight and keeping it off? Which one do you want to be?
I'd rather be someone who loses the weight and figures it out as I go and run the risk of not gaining it back. You know, like that's a thing that can happen. I'm not going to gain it back.
All you're doing is you're hedging all your bets on the risk of it failing rather than right. Hedging your bets on, I'm going to do it and bet on it might succeed.
Yeah. Yeah. So I keep writing. What's that?
Go ahead.
I keep writing it down. Because I know, like, every time I have a negative thought, I try to follow it up with something positive because yeah. I'm trying to retrain my brain about, nope, we're not going to think this way. So I have thoughts about, I feel fat or I look fat today. And I'll try to follow that up with something positive.
Yeah. Why not just keep doing that? I mean, what is the problem at this point, really? Other than like,
nothing.
Sometimes I have thoughts that are just really shitty.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I've made a ton of progress, which is great. And I feel like one of the things that's really helped me is the habit tracker because it was really illuminating on what I was and wasn't doing. Because mm-hmm. if you would have asked me 2 months ago if I was following the plan, I would have said, yep. But last month I followed my plan 41% of the time. I wrote it 100%, but I didn't follow it every day. So
your new thought is math works.
Math works. Yes. Okay. And here is my other question for you is, I put on my plan, candy corn yesterday and, those little marshmallow pumpkins.
Okay.
Because I just,
they're like, what, in the Halloween version of a peep?
Well, no, they're like those mellow, they're like the candy corn version of the pumpkin.
I wouldn't know. I was the kid that anything that looked remotely like holiday stuff got thrown away. I was like, where's my Butterfinger, my Snickers, my Milk Duds? That's like...
So I haven't had any Halloween candy all month, which has been great. And I haven't really particularly craved it. But then yesterday it was like, I put that on my plan and the floodgates open and I ate it all day.
Yeah. But that's not because the floodgates opened.
Okay.
So we have... candy corn and pumpkins, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Your thought is the floodgates have opened.
Yeah.
Like, what was your thought? Literally this, like, I know you had this planned, but what do you think? Like the action line is I overate.
Right. I think that I've done so well. I haven't had any all month and now I'm going to have some.
Mm-hmm. So when you started having some though, like let's have candy corn and pumpkins and ate the plan. Like you had your planned amount. Then what was going on in your head? I've done so well.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to stop.
Probably
can't lose. Or I'm not
going to get all that medical evidence that says you're going to be a failure.
Right, right, right. Yeah, yeah.
This is what's really happening. The medical evidence says I can't lose weight. Your thought of like, ooh, I've done so well and stuff, that is just your habit brain saying like, oh yeah, it's candy time. Like it's just running on what it always does. It's going to send up thoughts that support this core belief. Mm-hmm. Medical industry is saying, I can't lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm part of the 95%. All of that is decisions that you're making to believe that ends up drumming up. How does this feel?
That
the medical evidence says I can't lose weight.
Makes it feel impossible.
Impossible. So we wonder why we end up overeating. It wasn't the candy. It wasn't like, if you believed weight loss was possible, like 100% you had planned your candy, you'd be having a very different conversation. It would not be the floodgates opened. It would have been, I have done so well all month long. And that gives me evidence that I don't need to overeat candy anymore. I just really enjoy it. That is the difference between someone who believes weight loss is possible and someone who believes it's impossible.
Yeah.
And so then when you overeat, guess what? I join the 95%. I do that.
Right.
What those studies for like you forget to read is that those people never work on their mindset.
Right.
They're tracking to see, like, this is the part you have to work on. This is why you're in the tribe. Because, yeah, you could go out and do Weight Watchers and all this stuff, and, 95% of them are always going to fail and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And even more.
So if I change my thought to, I can lose weight, like, or I can be part of the 5%, is that a good thought to change it to?
You can use that. You can use, I will be part of the 5%. Okay. I'm going to learn how to be part of the 5%. Being part of 5% is just a decision to make. Okay. Because right now, the way you're doing it is you're doing it from a place of like, oh, this is a fact, Corinne. 95% of the people don't, you know, don't keep their weight off. There may be medical evidence, but I drop it into the thought line because that is a piece of information you've gone out into the world to use against yourself.
Right.
It'd be like saying, you know, 1% of the population, they're rapists. So I'm never getting married.
Right.
I don't want to run into that guy.
No. Right. Right. Okay. That's helpful. I mean, I know that's where I'm. I know that is so, that's so deep in my brain that drives like all of these decisions.
What
so I just
deep in your brain. Like, let's just suspend belief for a second that it's not.
Mm-hmm.
What if it's not anymore? Cause you've uncovered it. It's right there.
Okay. It's right there. Yeah.
It's literally right there. Like saying,
yeah, and
hello,
I guess
I am your thought. What would you like to
say? I want to change it. I don't want to believe that.
If you don't want to believe it, then just like say, like every time it comes up, be like, oh yeah, that's that old shit. Like, I don't believe that anymore. I actively choose not to believe it. Just because I think it doesn't mean I have to believe it. Like when you said, like, you know, you were talking about all these things that like, I think I'm so fat. It's like, yeah, so do I for 14 years of 100-pound weight loss. There's probably not a day that goes by at some point. I don't look at myself and think I look fat. I just don't believe it anymore. I just like, I guess eventually it may extinguish itself, but instead of being pissed about it every day, I'm moving on. Like a third day, then to be like, oh my God, that thought's still there. I wonder if that means that I'm going to regain my weight. I better go do a fucking model.
Right.
Now, for most of you, you don't even need to do models. You just need to be like, thought error, old programming. I don't want to stuff anymore. Like I may think it, but there's the difference between thinking something and emotionally attaching to it and getting all upset about it. And then there's like, I have a thought and I move on with my day. And then it's almost like not thinking about it at all. It's like, just because it comes in doesn't mean it has to stay and it has to be worked on. It has to be done and all these things, you know?
Right. Okay. Helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome. That was a great call. Yeah. I'm glad you ended up getting on.
Yes. Thanks for squeezing me in.
Yeah. Okay. After our rough start.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
All right, Natalie, let's do it. Thank you for raising your hand.
Hear me?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What are we coaching on today?
Okay. I'll try to keep it short, give you background and make it short. So I've been working on my journey for a year. I've been doing super well. And recently I was the girl in Queen's Club who said I was doing 2 spin classes a day and eating 1 meal a day, and you got mad at me. So anyway,
I didn't get mad. I pointed out that was not a way to go.
Right. And I think why I did it was because I was just seeing so much progress and I was like, let's just speed this up. Let's just get this done. Right. And that was my thought. And then I was like, okay, no, Corinne's right. You got to slow it down, because that's not what I'm going to be doing my whole life. So I stopped doing that. So now I'm doing 1 class a day. And anyway, so after that, I kind of, like, when I stopped doing so much exercise, I've been sabotaging myself now and kind of.
Not because you stopped doing so much exercise.
No, it's not because of that. But like, so if I do, like, I kind of got addicted to the exercise and was like, I love it. I just want to keep going.
But do you want to be someone who's addicted to exercise, or you want to be someone who exercises because it's good for them, because it gets results and it's done responsibly?
Yeah, I guess I don't see being addicted to exercise as a bad thing yet.
Right, yeah. If you have, like, let's say you do 2 spin classes every single day, mm-hmm. and you eat 1 meal a day, what do you think life looks like? Well, how old are you?
35.
So when you're 45 and your hormones change, and 2 spin classes a day and 1 meal a day is the norm, and your body wants to gain some weight because it's just used to that.
So yeah. And that's what's happening now. So that's why I was like, okay, so I'm not, and it's my fault too, because I'm eating more and I'm getting, yeah, I just.
Right. Let's just make sure we understand the reason why we're gaining weight. It's because we're eating more than our body needs. Yep. We don't need to be addicted to exercise. We need to have a healthy relationship with it, because when people who over-exercise to lose weight, like, what ends up happening, exercise is not a tool for weight loss. It's not sustainable. It doesn't work long term. It may get you an immediate result and it may feel good in the moment. But in 10 years, if you need to lose a few pounds, then you have to take 3 to 4 spin classes a day with your method. You can never stop spin classes twice a day. You will need to do that at 60 years old. And I know at 35, it's hard to imagine at 60, you're going to give a fuck. But I guarantee you, look at all of our tribe members who are 60 and they're here because they can't stand being overweight. I have an 80-year-old grandmother who calls me and wants to go to Weight Watchers because she can't stand the extra 30 pounds.
Yeah. No, I get it.
If you care now, you'll care then.
And I stopped doing the 2 classes a day. So I don't do that anymore. I do 1 and I take a rest every week.
But I need you to have a healthy mindset around doing it once a day and not telling yourself, I don't see being addicted to exercise as a bad thing. That is your thought. Okay. And that is a thought that's going to not serve you.
Okay.
That would be like saying, I don't see being addicted to crack as a bad thing. I mean, I get weight loss. I feel really good when I do it.
Yeah.
It is the same, Natalie.
Okay. I get that. I think, like, I was giving you the history, but that's not actually why I came to the call, because I thought that I had that solved. But thank you for pointing out that thought.
So the problem is we're overeating?
We're overeating after this stopping. Yeah. And I feel like
when's the last time you overate?
Last night.
And tell me about last night.
So I've just been good during the day, come to work, eat my salad for lunch, and then go home and tell myself I'm going to have
good today. Let's say that today I had followed my plan for breakfast and lunch.
Yeah. And then go home and just, instead of eating the salad that I would normally have been eating for like the past so long, I just eat whatever.
So you think the only reason why you ever ate a salad was because you were doing spin class twice a day?
No, I don't think
that. That's what you just said.
I don't think, I don't know how it was related, I guess.
Here's how it's related. I wasn't self-sabotaging and overeating until I went to only exercising once a day.
Yeah, yeah, because I think it was because, okay, so you're right. Because
so that means I ate my salad.
Yeah.
It's because I was doing two spin classes. That's why I eat salad every day.
Well, this is, okay, yeah. So the reason now it's making sense in my head is I do one in the morning, right? And then I do one after work. And then after work, I do the exercise again. Then I'd want to go home and I'd want to eat healthy because that was like in the mindset.
What if we just go home and want to eat healthy and we don't need to do a spin class to do it? Because that's not why you wanted to eat healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That was a click right there. I was just like, I just want to go eat healthy because I've just done something really good for my body and I want to go eat this.
You could easily insert, I'm going to go home, eat a salad because I followed my plan all day because I did something really good for myself.
Yeah.
If that's the thought, that's like, this is what I want you to see, because you kept attributing all of the overeating and being on plan. It's like, it has to do with this exercise. Like, it's all about the exercise. That's all it has to be about. No, it's because at some point you have thoughts. You have thoughts. You can have, your circumstance can be your day. Your circumstance can be exercise. It can be whatever, but it's the thought that drives the feeling that drives the action every single time.
Mm-hmm.
So your thought literally could be like, I did really good things for myself today. That's why I'm going to eat a salad.
Mm-hmm.
Any things can be good. You can also have a thought of, doesn't matter what happened earlier in the day. It can just be like, I'm going to eat a salad tonight because that's a really good thing to do for myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Cause I had it in my head before that, like, I only want to eat the salad after I go work out. If I don't work out, then I don't want to. And I wasn't conscious of it till now.
Yeah. It's always a thought. It's always a thought. And it's very easy. Like, I'm going to tell you, your most pervasive thought that you have is that being addicted to exercise is not a bad thing. This is where we know it's a bad thing, because then you start tying all of your ability to be able to control what goes into your mouth on how many times you go work out.
Yeah.
Without that, you can't solve overeating.
Yeah.
That's how we know that when we are addicted, let's just run the model.
Okay.
All right. Addiction to exercise is not a bad thing.
Well, I think the way that I'm thinking about it, if I explain that thought more, is I want to exercise for my entire life. And I think that's a good thing. And no, I don't need to do it twice a day and I don't need to go nuts with it, but I will be doing it for my entire life. And that's how I see addiction. I don't really feel like I'm addictive, like, to anything else. I don't really know what that word actually means now that you're mentioning it.
Like, I'm just repeating back what you said.
Yeah. And I use that word, but I'm like,
we need to look at it.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't actually know what I even meant by being addicted. I just meant I want to do it. I just meant like, I'm going to do it my whole life. And that's a good thing.
Let's do this. 2 spin classes a day. Two spin classes and salads.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is like, if I go on vacation, that's not going to work. If
that's
I'm away, like,
if we have been talking,
I'm like, if I'm away or if I like, but at a first glance, like, that looks fine, but I know it's realistic.
Your thought has been
what?
This is why I stay on plan.
Hmm. Yeah.
How's that feel? Like, let's take the salads out.
Constrained? limiting.
This is exercise is why I stay on plan.
It feels constrained. It feels like it's not going to work. Because if I, I have to pick a feeling word. It feels.
And you can take, give me three different feelings that could be this.
This is why I do it. Committed to keep doing it.
You feel committed?
Yeah, I feel like
that's one.
If that's
And how many days a week were you doing it?
I wasn't doing 2 7-days a week, but I was doing 2 weekdays, and then Saturday, Sunday I would just do 1.
All right. So no days off. Your team knows they
are. No days off. But I didn't do this for a very long time. I did it for.
I know, but I just want to run the model of what was happening just so you can kind of see where your mindset, just we've kind of addressed some of it. I want everybody to see this because exercise is a tricky spot for some people if they're not real careful about how they're thinking about it, right? Because everybody always is like, well, if I start exercising, I'll lose more weight. I mean, we just all automatically go there, right?
Yeah.
So times 5 days. And then no days off and 1-a-days.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you look at that now, this is why I stay on plan. What are your general thoughts about that? When you were even doing it, was it something like, this is what it takes?
Yeah, I was I feel good doing this. I felt good.
And why did you feel good?
Because I was seeing progress on the scale. It felt like I was doing the right things to move me forward. I was getting the results I wanted.
Okay. So that's the after. So when you think about it now, what do you think?
I think I have to do something different because that's not going to work forever. And I don't want to do it that way.
That's interesting. So even when you were in the middle of it, because this is what's funny. A lot of times we will do things that feel good in the moment, but there'll be this underlying, this is what it takes.
Yeah. Well, my original thought why I started doing it was I can just get the weight, because I was down to my last 15 pounds. I'm I'm just going to get this done and then I can maintain and it'll be easier. And I don't have to keep doing these 2 spin classes a day. That was my mentality. Was let's just speed it up or kickstart it or whatever. That was why.
Why did we have to get there faster?
Because I could, I thought to myself. I'm like,
yeah, I mean, you could.
Yeah.
But why? Why not just take it slower?
Because I guess I'm just
what was going to be so different when the 15 pounds came off?
I was going to be happier. Which was my first thought. It's not true. I know. But yeah, that was my thought. I thought, and I guess. No, I'm still working on it. Probably got about 17 now, but yeah, I feel like that's why I was I need to get on coaching today. Cause I feel like I'm getting set back because of this. So, and I don't want to go back into where I was before. And I'm I've been doing it for so long and yet it's still possible to go back into old habits and I have to do something about it before I go too far. So
I think what this is really showing me is that the reasoning behind this was not going to be long-term sustainability.
Correct. Yeah.
I have to get this over with so I can be happy rather than why don't I work on why I'm not happy right now while I'm losing weight sustainably.
Yeah. And the funny thing is now, because the thoughts that I was having now, I'm I'm okay with it now. I don't even I don't need to lose the 15 pounds. I've done enough. I've worked hard for a year. I'm good. But that's not true because I'm here. So obviously that's not true, but that's.
Well, it's a lot easier to say I'm happy with this 15 pounds than it is to be all right, I really have to solve this overeating thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to solve it by just running my body into the ground.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to actually work on my brain now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really going to have to work on my brain.
That's so, yeah. And see, I thought before you said that, I'm like, exercise is hard, right? Like, because I'm pushing myself and that's hard. I'm like challenging myself and that's a good thing, but I'm not challenging myself where I need to, which is my brain.
Yeah, like I think exercise is fine as long as the motive, like I exercise every day. Sometimes it's just a walk, but I don't do it to control things. I do it because I love it. Like I genuinely love it. I don't have expectations of it. I don't think it's going to like change me so then I'll be happy. If I want to be happy with my body, I have to start thinking differently about my body. My weight and how much I exercise may change the outside, but if I'm in the habit of tearing my body down, those thoughts don't change just because the scale drops.
Yeah.
You and just start worrying you're going to lose it.
And then I'm in the genuine place where I love it as well and I enjoy it. And yeah, I don't think there's an issue with that, but I do see I have a problem.
If you really love it, then you want to do it in a, like, I don't care if you want to do spin classes five times a day or like if you want to do all of this, but I want it to be from a true place of, I love it. Like I just, this is my jam. But when the thought is really, let's just get this done faster so that we can be happy.
Yeah.
Then we're not exercising from the right place.
Yeah, that's true. And also, I do have a really limiting thought that I know is bad. If I do a whole bunch, like if we will do like a marathon thing, it's not like a real marathon, but it's like a spin class and then a 5 kilometer run and then a spin class or something, then I'll be like, oh, then I can just eat whatever I want. Like I can just eat because I've worked so hard. And that's,
that's where you're tying, all food. You're not only, you're tying your food line to your exercise line. And that's what I wanted you to see is that you've got to work on the relationship with your exercise. Mm-hmm. Like exercise has nothing to do with food. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I eat to feel good in my body, to fuel my body and do those things. You've got to work on your relationship with food. Movement is the same thing, but I don't, like it never helps anyone to think I am exercising and therefore I will lose weight. It is not ever going to work. I will promise you, I've never seen anybody use that model and it work. They do not keep the weight off because let's say you get sick.
Yeah.
For 2 weeks, you can't exercise. You will go crazy. And then suddenly you'll be like, oh my God, I'm not exercising. And I've been using it to keep my weight off. So now I don't have a good relationship with food. Now I am around food and I'm panicked. And I may be constraining and restricting over there in an unhealthy way or just saying, fuck it and eating whatever. Because, well, if I can't exercise, it means I'm going to for sure gain weight. Do you see how all of it just ends up not working because we just don't watch our mind around it?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go back to your overeating. I'm going to take this out.
That was
right now. You're overeating because of the model of the exercise was causing the weight loss or causing me to stay on pain or a plan.
Yeah.
And how does that feel? Because now it's one time a day. And are you taking a day off?
Yeah, I am.
A day off. Versus what you were doing. I'm just going to put old plan for
simplicity.
So we have our old plan and now it's one day, once a day and a day off for me. And the exercise was causing me to stay on plan. How's that feel?
The feeling is frustrated.
Frustrated. Is that what you want fueling your decisions to follow your salad plan every night? Frustration?
No. I think the feeling was frustrated. Honestly, that's a hard one for me because I hadn't looked at it that way before. So I'm like, I don't actually know if it's frustrated or not. The exercise was the reason why I was staying on plan.
It could be frustrating. It could be defeated. It could be blocked.
Yeah, I feel like it was like apathetic because then I don't care.
Right.
And that's what's causing the overeating. And that's that feels a lot more like what is happening so, right now.
And the result is I blame exercise for my mouth.
Yeah. And I gain weight. Yeah. Okay.
Pretty crystal.
Yeah.
I want you to use some of the thoughts. I want you to just start telling myself exercise was never doing it. It was always how I decided and how I thought. That was all the reason why I was losing weight. It was because I was making decisions to lose weight. And now I need to decide, do I want to keep losing weight? If so, just need to make decisions to lose weight, which means I can decide that if, like, when I follow my plan all day, that doesn't make me a good girl. It doesn't make me a bad girl. It doesn't make me deserving or anything. I can just celebrate, you know what? I was on plan all day, and this is really good reason to keep on going. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just think for you, it's going to be like really reminding yourself, it was never the exercise. It was all me. I take full credit for it. I chose that salad every night.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm just having
an epiphany. Do you go to Peloton or do you go to spin class?
I go to spin class.
Yeah, I rode the Peloton for an hour this morning. My trainer, I'm trying to run this damn 5K. He puts me on the Peloton for an hour and I was like, this is like slow torture. My hoo-ha was killing me when I got off the bike. I was like,
My husband and I go together to the spin class. And
oh, that's fun.
He's competitive and he likes to do two a day. And that also makes me want to go. But I've told him I'm not doing two a day anymore. And he's not doing either.
Every now and then you want to do that for fun and with your husband. That's a way better reason than I need to like get all this weight off so I can get to my happy place.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Totally.
Figure out, like, why am I not happy with where I'm at? Like, that isn't, like, you can be happy with your weight, where you are now, and whatnot, and still choose to lose weight. You need to figure out, like, why would I not even, like, this would be just something curious for you to investigate in your journal. Why am I not happy now? What are the things that maybe I'm not seeing about my, like, because it's going to have to come down to your body or your body, food, exercise, whatever it is, because it was just very curious for you to say, well, when I would lose that 15 pounds, then I would be happy. Why would I be so happy? Because I'd be thinking these things and that will tell you what you're not thinking now. Mm. Okay. Mm.
Okay.
It's always good to be curious with ourselves.
All right. I'm going to do that now.
Thank you so much. You're welcome. Good. Bye.
Awesome. Thanks.
Okay. Who are, Kathy, did you, Joy, are you here? You're signed up. Raise your hand if you're here. I'm going to call on Kiki.
Oh, how do I do this?
I'll ask you to ask to start the video. It's the easiest way. Well, hello.
Hi.
What are you coaching on?
My face is super big. Hi. Hello. Let's scooch this. There we go. So I'm just having a little trouble. Sorry.
No, you're fine. You know how I get dizzy. You got to settle that phone down. I'll get my car sickness going and be vomiting on y'all.
Hands off. I feel like I am almost transitioning from stage one to stage two, like weekly. Like I get super excited every Monday because I'm going to start again. And then the weekends, I'm like, party. Like, I have all the, I just go, I don't do anything. Like, I don't do my
plan. Why are you not just making a plan for the weekend?
You know, I started to last weekend. I was like, just make your plan. Just sit down, half-ass it if you have to. Like, just do your plan. And I didn't follow it at all. Like, I was.
Yeah, follow it because you had said half-ass it if you have to.
I did. I totally did.
Yeah, you did it because you told yourself to half-ass it. I just want to point that out, mm-hmm. that if you made the plan, be like, just half-ass it if you have to. You can't be feeling bad about it on the back end if you directed yourself to half-ass.
Right.
You'd be like, all right, I just want to be aware No, that when I tell myself to half-ass, that's probably what I'll get.
Right, right. And I don't know, and I know that we have a ton of thought, and I need to read and listen more about weekend stuff. Because I was kind of like, I heard that it was tricky. And then I was like, oh yeah, like, this is tricky for me. That is...
It's not it's tricky. Like, here's the thing about weekends. Mm-hmm. It's figure-outable.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be sitting there thinking that this is some kind of slippery slope or weird thing or whatever. No, it's a pattern and that you need to figure it out.
Right. Yeah. And I think that I thought, okay, your weekends, but my thought work is not healthy around my weekends at this point.
What are your thoughts about your weekends other than they're tricky?
That it's party time. And I kind of...
Why is it party time on the weekend? What's going on during the week that makes you need to party hard on the weekend?
I think it's just the day-to-day routine of work, kids, all of that. And the weekend, you know, traditionally, for even when we were in school, the weekend is time off. It's time off from school.
Not for me. I worked. I'm going to tell you. I was broke, and every weekend meant time to make money.
Right. Right. No, I get it. And I think I just have the mentality of the weekend's your break time. Like, you get to take a break. You get to do what you want to do.
Why
and that includes
your life. Why are you describing your weekday life so terribly? Sounds awful.
I don't know. I don't feel like it's awful. Like, I don't feel like...
Outside of you just told me you need a break from it.
Yeah. From work stuff. Like work, like it's like I don't have to work now. Like it's the weekend. I don't have to have such a strict schedule about where I'm gonna be and who I gotta talk
to
and the
list. What does that have to do with
food? I don't know. Nothing. Nothing.
But no, I need to think about it. Why are you somehow I have this strict schedule with work?
And I don't even. Like I'm in sales. I do what I want. Like I mean, really, as long as I sell, I'm fine. It's just, I think it's just, I give myself a pass. Like, I think it's just this ultimate excuse of like, here's your pass of do what you want on the weekends. And
you do get to do what you want on the weekends. We just got to define what you want to do.
I want to eat crappy on the weekends. If I'm being, I feel like. I think I realize I'm a binge eater, first of all. And I feel like I give myself that excuse on the weekends to binge.
Okay.
And I keep it, but then I felt like I kept it pretty together during the week, but now I'm not even. Now it's kind of like, oh, your weekend fun has turned into 5 days and Thursday you might get it together. And then it's the weekend again.
Tell me about your normal weekday plan.
My food plan on the weekday?
Yeah, just give me a general, like if you were going to plan, like if I was going to say like, hey, let me just, what was your last plan?
So I did my plan today.
Okay.
And like the morning I had my breakfast plans.
Like I want to know the food.
You want to know what I had to eat?
Yeah, I want to know what
you want to know what exactly. I planned Wheaties with Splenda for the breakfast. Wheaties. And I wasn't hungry. Right. So I didn't eat it.
Wait a minute. I'm writing it down. Wheaties,
okay, sorry.
Splenda for breakfast?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, all right, next.
And then lunch was a taco.
Taco. One taco. That's all you put on your plan was I'm just having one taco.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually plenty for you?
If I eat breakfast, yes. That lunch, that would be fine. Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sitting there like, damn, I eat way more than that.
But because I'm drinking so much water, by that time I will have had 50 ounces of water. So physically, I don't feel.
That's fine. Like, I'm not judging. I'm just like,
oh, yeah.
And then what's the dinner plan?
What's the dinner plan?
Yeah. Like, what's on your plan for the rest of the day?
So I have a pork roast, potatoes, and green beans for dinner. And my snack is a fruit and some sweet tea. I don't think that counts as a snack, but that's what I put.
Fruit with sweet tea?
Yeah.
Okay. Oops. Okay. Anything else?
No.
On the plan?
Nope.
Would this be typical of a week? Like if you were going to make a plan for the week, this would be in the range of this much food stuff. All right. So tell me your thoughts about this.
So my thoughts about that are pretty healthy, but
like, tell me the thoughts.
Tell me,
like
doable. Like I feel confident about that plan. Like I feel like I can nail that. No problem.
Okay. Why were you not nailing this on Saturday? Like, what are your thoughts about this? If this was like, so this is Wednesday's plan. Now this is Saturday. What are your thoughts?
Mm-mm.
Why?
I feel restricted.
It's so doable on Wednesday. Why is it not doable on Saturday?
Because there's just my family's home, everybody's home, and I want to just have fun and eat.
So this is not fun. I'm going to tell you, if it's not fun on Saturday, it's probably not fun on Wednesday either. But would you describe this the fun plan? Like, this is my fun weekday plan.
I feel like it doesn't bother me on the weekdays, but on the weekends, I would feel restricted by that.
Well, you just told me, though, that sometimes you're not following this plan during the week either.
Right.
Like, does this be like, yeah, Corinne, if I could just eat Sweeties or Wheaties, taco, some pork roast and fruit every day of the rest of my life, let me just tell you how I feel about it. It's so doable. This is amazing. I love what I'm doing for my body. I look forward to it. I can't even wait for the taco.
Like, I honestly feel very confident about that plan. Yes.
As long as it only takes place on the weekday, Friday without a binge on the weekend.
Right. That's how I feel. Like, if we're being honest, like, that's where I'm at. Yeah. Mentally. Like, yeah.
But do you see the problem with that?
Yeah. I do. And I don't know
what. If all things align perfectly in my life, this is the fun.
Yeah. Is it because I've given too much? It's emotional eating around the fun. Like, I feel like I should be having on the weekends. And I've just said,
why is your weekend not fun without food? Like, if you literally, I want you to think about it. If we were just going to insert this with one exception meal, your thoughts change to what?
I think I would use the exception meal to binge.
Let's say we're not. We're using it as an exception meal.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever tried it. So I don't even know what would happen if I tried it. I've never tried it. And I feel like shit. And then come Monday, I'm like, yes, it's time to binge on all things Corinne on Monday. And we're back. And then it's just like I said, like it feels to me emotionally very much like stage one, stage two. So you feel like
crying. Stage two, just drop that whole lesson.
Okay.
You're overcomplicating this.
Good. Okay.
Tell me what your thought is if, and one exception meal, 8 to 2. What are your thoughts? This is the weekend plan.
That's the weekend plan?
We're now on the weekend.
I feel FOMO. I feel that fear of missing out on the weekend fun that I've associated with food.
I'm going to miss out on fun because this isn't fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's my initial thought is restriction, FOMO, because my food isn't fun.
Okay.
So I've given.
Does it need to be fun for you to have a fun weekend?
I mean, when I think about it, no. But when the weekend comes, I'm like, yeah, like let's have a good meal. Let's have the big stuff, and let's
have a good meal. Yeah. Like I want you to listen to how you're talking.
Mm-hmm.
This is a villain,
right?
Is this not a good meal?
Yeah. I mean, I like that.
It's not, because you keep telling me, No, Corinne, you don't understand. When I get to the weekend, the other meals are the good meals. The other meals are the fun meals. The other meals are the ones we need to create the life we want.
Right.
Except on Monday, I feel like ass, and I just decide to start binge listening to Corinne again and trying to get my shit together, and I need to, like, drum up excitement. I think the biggest problem is that you want dieting to be exciting for you.
You want
all your food to be super exciting. You're going to have to practice some boredom.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's probably true, and I think that probably leaks into my financial life, into my thought, you know, my therapist says it's my impulse control of, like, I always want the fun and I always want to have a good time.
There's nothing wrong with having a good time and fun. The problem is you're conflating it with what you put in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let me ask you, you have kids, right?
Yep.
How many and what ages?
Four.
Kids and what ages?
18, 17, 15, 14.
Do you remember what you talked about more last weekend with them? Or do you remember what all y'all ate and binged on?
What we did and the fun we had other than food.
Okay. Why don't we quit telling ourselves then that the important thing is what I eat with my kids. The important thing is I learned how to actually enjoy my kids and not bastardize my relationship with them with what I put in my mouth.
Right.
That's, like, hard work. That's the real work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not eating this. It's like bringing yourself back to what's happening with my kids is way more important than me thinking that I'm missing out. It's like, oh, wait, my kids are still here. I forget I'm not missing anything out. The only time you're going to be missing out when they're all eating food is if your thoughts are, I'm missing out.
Right.
Rather than being like, fuck, bitch, I'm sitting right here. What the hell am I missing out on?
Right.
Oral pleasure. That is when in the moment you have to, like, listen for the things that you're telling yourself. Like, oh yeah, I'm thinking I'm missing out. I need to remember. No, I'm learning how to be with food and not be impulsive.
Right. Right. No, yeah. Impulsiveness is definitely something that I've not learned a lot about, but I know that that's something that I need to think more about and to get my thoughts around that.
It's going to be slowing it down. And you're going to need to sign up. So what is the opposite of impulsive?
Patience.
Patience is not going to feel amazing.
Right. Right. And I think that
super uncomfortable.
And I haven't let myself be uncomfortable in a very long time. I've been fixing stuff. I fix it with shopping. I fix it with sex. I fix it with food. I fix anything uncomfortable needs taken care of. I just don't sit in it.
What if this weekend, what if we make a very realistic plan this weekend and we take one meal where everybody's going to eat everything they want but you?
I tried not to let my face show, but it did. Okay.
Like, literally, I want you to have one meal where it's like, all right, this is the meal where I'm having pork roast or whatever it is. Everybody else is going to have what they're going to have. And you're not going to think it's going to be a shit show. You're not going to think it's going to be terrible. You're not going to think it's going to be hard. You're going to just sit there and you're going to see what happens. Where does my brain go? And no matter what happens in my brain and how uncomfortable I might feel in the moment, because you may not be as uncomfortable as you think you're going to be.
Right.
I just want to know what it's going to be like. And then I'll work on it the next weekend again until you get really good at being like, this is what patience feels like with myself. I'm patient while my brain thinks I'm missing out. I'm patient while... Like, this is usually what will happen is you're going to feel very agitated. What we're going to be doing is not being impulsive, but usually what happens is if you're used to giving into your urges, then you're going to feel agitated.
Right.
Because your brain's going to want it, and it's going to turn up the heat like, oh my God, they're all having all the fun. I think they love each other more because they're eating and they don't love you now. Like, it's going to give you everything. You deserve it. Like, girl, you got four kids. You had a long week. It's going to bring up all of it. And what I want you to do is, like, not sit there and think all that's bad. Be like, yeah, that's part of the process. My brain's going to have to go through a lot of that while I just sit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just be okay with just sitting with it.
Right.
You'll feel agitated. I want you to pay attention. We're actually going to do this next, not this Thursday, but next Thursday in the tribe. Mm-hmm. But you're actually going to sit with your feelings. And that means I want you to, like, while you're sitting there, this is a very, you really need to plan this event.
Yeah. Okay? Sounds like it. Yeah.
Like, it just needs to be like, y'all, when do you want, what do they love on the weekends? What is one of their favorite things that you eat at home?
Fettuccine Alfredo, pizza.
Okay, let's say, do you know what, y'all? Saturday night is pizza night. Y'all's favorite? All the things.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday night, you're not having pizza. And you're like, and I'm going to eat salad, and I'm going to sit there. You can eat whatever you want. You don't have to be a salad, but.
Sure.
I want you to note, like, oh my gosh, my heart is beating like a drum. I think I might even be sweating. Like, I want you to know what the feelings are in your body while mm-hmm. it's happening. And I want you just paying attention to that. I want you to just pay attention to what you think. And then when everybody's done eating and stuff, I want you to go in and I want you to write about it. Like, this is what I experienced. And I want you to end it with, and that is the worst it will ever get.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That will be the worst one, the first one.
Okay. Yeah. And I think I dabbled in that and I think I underestimated, like, I'm going to physically feel bad, like uncomfortable. I thought I was just going to be like, oh, this sucks. Like, whatever. But no, it like,
yeah,
I didn't make it very long, but
what, especially for binge eaters, what happens is that when you're going to be denying what you want, like when you're just like, you know what, I'm denying what I want right now, so that I can gift myself what I want long term. I mean, we're humans. We don't like delayed gratification. We are humans in the modern day age. Can you imagine when we were cavemen? Like, if we wanted a steak, we had to wait for the animal to come by. Like, well, these days, we're just like, Grubhub, bring it. Yeah. And then we get mad when it doesn't come fast enough, you know?
We're
not used to delayed gratification. It is a practice.
I've never tried
modern day age.
Sure.
So for you, this is what happens for all of us. When you are going to say no to something that you're used to giving yourself to, your brain doesn't know not to flood you with the chemicals to get mm-hmm. you to act. It just thinks we're miserable. We're miserable. We should pleasure ourselves. We should pleasure ourselves.
Right.
So you're going to get all your chemicals.
Yeah.
And then every time
I didn't realize that.
Yes. Yeah. And but I think that's the most important part, is to realize the physical component and to pay attention to the physical component in a very mm-hmm. deliberate way. Like, oh, it's my breathing and it's like the quickening of my chest. I almost feel like I'm choking, like all the things. Like,
yes. Like, I'm uncomfortable right now. Just thinking about it. I mean, it's crazy. And
it's not crazy. It's normal. Like, that's what's supposed to happen. That's the deconditioning process.
Okay. I'll do it.
And then the rest of the weekend, I just want you to have a realistic plan. I just, like, here's my best advice for all of you that are like, you know, like the weekends, I have not been able to figure this shit out. I would pick one meal, like I just assigned her, to go all in on, to be super aware, to experience your feelings and stuff. And then for the rest of the week, this is not like, ooh, I made it through that. Now I get to have all my fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know mm-hmm. what? I'm going to have a very realistic plan. It may have foods that I like, maybe we're having pizza on Sunday night too, because, like, I just want to make sure I follow a plan this weekend.
Right. Right. And I think that it's really good to have this conversation so other people can hear a little bit more about how physically hard it is. I mean, it's like not hard, but just that you'll experience.
It will catch you off guard if you're not.
It will catch you off guard.
Honestly, it is. Like, when, you know, you will feel a little panicky, a little anxious, agitated. Mm-hmm. Those are not feelings that our brain is like, why are we doing this? Like, our brain literally thinks we're in danger. And it's like, I know, primitive brain, you think we're in danger, but we're not having pizza. No one's right. Dying. Yeah, I feel like we are, but we're not.
I felt the danger, and I took care of it with the food, because I didn't realize that this would happen. And I've been binging. I was really, really small, but my mom and I binged together growing up. And I've tried to practice future self stuff my mom died not too long ago, and her weight had something to do with that.
Yeah.
From how I grew up with her and the habits of food. And I can't do that. Like I want to be a grandma for a real long time. And so the pain, the uncomfort will be worth it to me. Like this is,
I think that's one of the things that you can remind. That's a really good, compelling reason. Cause it sounds like it's very important to you.
Yeah.
Is to remind yourself, like, you know, when I'm with my kids now, I need to really be with my kids, and I don't have to be with them with the food. I can be a little uncomfortable, right, so that I can be with my grandkids eventually too.
It's, like, a huge compelling reason.
Break all of that.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All righty. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Let's do one more, Elizabeth, and we'll get out of here. Guys, if you asked a question, will you take it over to Ask Coaches for me? I want to do extra coaching today. So just make sure that if you asked a question, take it to Ask Coaches and they will help you. And you can also take it to the Facebook group. They're really good about it. And you can, right now, Kathy is actually in the chat. So if you want to ask, what happened to, well, I guess Elizabeth is not. Elizabeth, do you want to raise your hand again? Maybe I cut you off. I'm sorry. Or your hand was up by accident. There you go. I think I might have cut you off. Sometimes I hit the change role to attendee when I'm asking to start video. You there?
I am.
Hey.
Hair standing straight on end, because this is so important to me.
It's all right. This morning I sent a Marco Polo to my best friend, and I literally had a horn head coming out one side. I have like awesome morning hair. Everybody with short hair knows what happens to you every morning.
Yeah, I found that out in the last few months.
Yes, it's always amazing. All right, what we coach on?
Corinne, I'm nervous, but this question is really so important to me.
Okay.
And I am working on my compelling reason.
Awesome.
It's been a lot of work, and I have some good compelling reasons. Don't get me wrong. And just a few of them are, I want to be fit and defined. I want better health. I want to be able to play with my grandson. Ride a bike, have more stamina and energy. Those are great.
Yeah.
And as this may sound revengeful or selfish, but it really isn't. It comes from just many years of hurt. And I realized where it began was, you know, back with my father, but that's really not an issue. That, you know, that's just a thing that just doesn't matter to me. What is the issue on the hurt part that I want to turn it into? I can't find a positive word or words to let this be a motivator for right now. And it needs to be my top motivator, because all the other things are going to become top motivators once I take care of this one.
What is it?
And give me some examples, and maybe some people can relate or not. Over the last 10, 15 years, I live about 1,200 miles from where I grew up, and I've gone home for family funerals and such as this, and I've run into old friends, childhood friends, high school friends. And in each situation, I have, every time, the people that I love the most have had the most shocked look on their face at seeing seeing 100 pounds more on my frame. You can't deny look. You just can't. You feel it in your bones. The conversation lags, you know, all those things. And then the promise of lunch dates, or, you know, okay, you're far away. We're going to catch up. We're going to call. We're going to do this with Facebook. Okay, Facebook friends. Set up dates for calling, get together, catch up. Never happens. Totally being ignored. It hurts.
Okay. Okay. And why does it hurt, though?
It hurts because we had such good relationships. We had such a good friendship. You don't think that's it? Okay.
What is the model?
I'm overly sensitive, but...
No, that's not the judgment on yourself.
Well, and it's a true one. I am, and I know that.
No.
Okay.
Let's just slow the truck down for a minute.
Okay.
Tell me why it hurts. So hurt is right here.
I guess I don't want to be looked at the way that I have been looked at. I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to.
I hurt myself
less. The weight I've done to myself.
No, the reason why Facebook friends don't follow up. Okay, let's just use that one as an easy one, right?
Okay.
We don't have the lunch. Like, we all say we're going to get together. We don't get together. Right?
Right.
It hurts, not because of this. I just want to be really clear because I know where you're going. And for us to go to getting better, compelling reasons that fuel us rather than hurt us, we have to take ownership first that they're not hurting us. It's not because they think I'm fat. It's not because, like, whatever. Like, let's just say they all think, oh, God, she's gained the weight. I don't want to have anything to do with her. I'll just give you that one. It's like, let's just assume they all thought it. Because that's where your brain's going. We don't know what they're thinking. But if your brain is sold on it, I'll just give it to you.
Okay. Okay.
We're not hurt because of that. We are hurt because I think hurtful things about it. I think it shouldn't be happening, or I think they don't like me, or I think whatever. That is why you feel hurt. And the reason why I want to make this clear is because I know you're going to want to have compelling reasons that fuel you, but you'll never get past it. If you think if somebody can hurt you externally, you'll never be able to drive yourself internally. You'll need every single person in the world to show up perfectly in order for you to figure your own shit out.
Right. Yes. And I understand that. And I've even gotten written here that right now this is my most compelling feeling.
Okay.
But I know that it won't matter. It'll just disappear as I continue to lose the weight. It won't matter to me. My confidence will have been restored. And honestly,
would your confidence get restored?
Well, I think my confidence is destroyed to begin with because of things that have happened.
No. Like
falling down in a parking lot and having, it's more embarrassment. It's embarrassment.
It's all the things that I want, like,
hurts. Embarrassment. It all comes down to feelings, yes.
Yeah, so embarrassment, lack of confidence. This is going to be so good for you to just see this. This is going to be first step for you.
Okay.
All of this is happening. You keep attributing all of it. Have you done the model lesson, by the way?
Yes.
Okay. So I just want to make sure you understand CTFAR.
Yes.
Attributing all of your feelings, you're still attributing to circumstances. I fell down. That's why I have a lack of confidence. I did this. This is why I have a lack of confidence. These things happen. This is why I have, like, I'm embarrassed. No, it's always my thoughts. So uncovering how you're thinking about yourself allows you to get into the part of the driver's seat. Then what you're doing is you're not trying to prove things to people. You're not trying to change people. You're not trying to change the path. You're not trying to do any of that anymore. Because let me just guess. You want to lose weight to prove it to these assholes that you're deserving.
Not in person, but in my mind, yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I told you.
Plus, y'all, look at me. I lost weight.
There is some, right now, there is revenge, mental revenge in my head. Yes, there
is. That revenge gets us nowhere. So the feeling is revenge. Let me ask you this. One of the things, I'm going to tell you, I feel you. Like, I had all the bullies, all the things. Like, there was not, I'm going to tell you, I'm not above, like, when I lost all my weight, one of the first things I didn't lose weight to prove Kevin Walsh in the sixth grade wrong. But there was a for sure part of me that was like, fuck you, Kevin Walsh. See? I didn't use it to fuel my weight loss.
Okay.
Like, it was just like one of those thoughts that came up after the fact. But what I fueled my weight loss was not from revenge. Because what happens is like, on a day when you're feeling really bad about yourself, you're not, you're not care enough about people 1,200 miles away.
Yeah.
Say no to food at 9 o'clock at night when you feel bad about yourself. Revenge will never get you there.
Okay.
And revenge also, a lot of times our action line is like, what do you think your thought is for revenge? I want them to see I'm worth it, or what is it?
Worthy. I guess that probably is it. I'm worthy of their, I don't know, mutual respect. It's just, they're such long ago friends. I can't say, to be the friends. The friendship would be even different today than it was then, because we're different. We're older. We have different experiences. But I think,
let's do this model. I want mutual respect.
Yes.
How does that feel?
Yeah, not based on weight. Not based on the way someone looks.
I know, but just in general.
Yes.
Like, Facebook friends don't follow it with me. I want mutual respect. How does that feel?
Yes.
Tell me how it feels in your body.
It feels fine.
It does?
Yeah, it does. I don't have a problem,
it feels fine.
Okay.
What do you do when you feel fine?
Probably don't think about it.
Is that like, is this, let me ask you this.
Okay.
When you feel fine, are you reaching out to them? Are you eating on plan? Are you doing all the things?
Okay, I'm with you. If I'm feeling fine, then there's, nothing holding me back. So yes, I am eating on plan. I do have a direction.
Consistently?
And they're not.
Fine, make you every single time you have an overeat or an urge, be like, I'm 100% not having that. Like, I am losing my weight.
Say that again.
I'm tricking you.
You are. Say that again.
When you feel fine, like, I want mutual respect from my Facebook friends who don't contact me. I feel fine about it. What does your action line actually look like? So how many times do you keep reaching out to them and being like, oh yeah, remember we were going to get together. Oh, hey, let me message you one more time. Oh, hey, let me just tag you on your Facebook post. Let me make sure that you see me. Or is it just like, well, it's fine. I mean, I want mutual respect. Well,
yeah, actually I don't reach out. I have done that in the past. And I don't reach out. That's just, it's like, fuck it. I'm done.
We do some fuck it. Is there a lot of like, because I feel so fine about this mutual respect, this is like motivating me to take immaculate care of myself.
No, I'm okay. I want mutual respect. The feeling fine. Takeaway fine. I did this wrong. I can see that.
Okay.
I want the mutual respect. And how does that make me feel? Mm-hmm. Like, it makes me feel needy.
Needy. That's a much better one. Needy. So when I'm
Needing something from somebody else.
So then what happens here when you're feeling needy? So I know one thing you're doing.
Desperate, maybe?
You're creating stories about your weight.
Okay, yes.
That they must be thinking.
Okay.
That's one of the things we do when we're needy.
Right.
We seek revenge.
Yes, we do.
Do you have any, like, fuck it eats because nobody's calling you back?
No, and like I said, I haven't reached out in several years, but the feelings are there. You know, the being hurt by it all it's really big.
So I don't respect myself is your result.
Ooh. And that's why I ate and didn't do anything different about it.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, can I cry?
Yes, you. Of course. I have not had anybody cry all day. Please. You know how I am. I love a good cry. This is the problem when we want mutual respect versus, you know what? I think I probably should focus on respecting myself right now. I need to like be thinking about, do I want to lose weight for them as an FU? Or do I want to lose weight for me because it's respectful and it's important to me? They may or may not like me because of my weight, but that has nothing to do whether or not I'm going to like me because of my weight. You know, Elizabeth, you get to like yourself right now because you're worth this journey. You get to like yourself at this weight. That's how I ended up losing my weight, is because I finally quit hating on myself and blaming and doing all of these, like, I feel these things because these things keep happening. When I just decided I love myself enough to do this, I'm going to figure out how to love myself. I'm going to start eating and telling myself the reason why I'm eating this is because I want better for me and I want better for my family. I stayed in the space and I had to make myself stay in the space of like, I'm choosing today to eat a little bit better because I just want to feel better. I deserve to feel better. There's only one person that will ever make me feel better, and that will be me.
Right.
And we already have seen throughout the course of our entire life that every time we put the power in someone else making us feel better, it doesn't work.
Work.
And it's not because they're a bad person. It's because they never were able to handle the responsibility to begin with. I don't even, this, as much as I adore Chris, I know the reason why I feel good and loved and stuff around Chris is because I decide to feel that way. I don't wait for him to perform.
Right.
I just look at him like, I love you. I was teasing him yesterday. He was crawling around on the floor and I just ran over there and smacked him right on the ass. I was like, ooh, I just love that butt. And I literally did it, not because like he has the world's most amazing ass, but because I have been working really hard on writing down every single day, I am an exceptional wife and mother. That's me loving me.
And then that just spills out to everything else.
Doing things. If you just start writing, like I want you to think about in your planner, you know, the one I do every day, just happen to be right here. I want you to write. Yes. I want one of your compelling reasons every, like, write this one every day and then you can write your another one with it, but just be like, or here's your thought that you're working on believing.
Okay.
I'm so worthy. I don't need anybody else to create worthiness for me. I'm doing it all because I am worthy. I'm working on believing I'm worthy. All of those will work.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So tell me what you're going to be doing the next, I'm going to just give you, are you going to be on next Thursday night's call at 5 p.m.? Not this Thursday, the next Thursday.
Well, I don't have a calendar, but more than likely.
I want you to be on the call. I'm going to announce it to everybody what we're doing right now. It's so surprising. We're going to do our first ever recovery worksheet lab. So people get to bring recovery worksheets.
Oh, okay.
Have some, bring it. We're going to talk all about recovery worksheets. We're going to talk about how to like take our overeating and start learning from it, but we're going to do a fun exercise first.
Everyone, oh, I just did one.
Their favorite binge food with them. What's whatever that? It is that everybody's bringing their favorite binge food or overeat food or whatever who comes to the call. And then we're going to sit through an urge with Corinne in live time on the call.
Oh, we're going to bring the food?
bringing the food to the call.
Oh,
like whatever it is, Reese's Pieces or something. Yeah, whatever it is that you think is like your little like whammy, you're bringing it to the call, and then I'm going to teach you guys how to go through an urge, and we're not eating.
Okay.
And then we're going to talk all about recovery worksheets.
Okay.
So whatever it is that you find that's hard, I want you to bring it.
Okay.
Okay. You're going to lose this weight. You have so many good, compelling reasons. That's the best thing.
I really do. I have an awesome.
We're not losing weight for them. We're losing weight for me.
Right. And I have an awesome grandson. He needs me.
He does. They all need us. Your eyes, by the way, remind me so much of my own.
I know. I know.
I was like, when I you know, looking I at your eyes, I'm just like, we have like very identical eyes.
Somebody in here has already mentioned that. And I said, oh, well, now I know why I always get compliments on my eyes. She has such pretty eyes.
There you go. There you go. So, all right. You have a good one.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I hope this helped somebody else.
Oh, I'm sure it helped a lot of people. Somebody said they're bringing fried chicken to next week's call.
Oh, goodness. Well, then I'm bringing the candy.
That's right. I'll see you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, everyone, that's it for today. Looks like a lot of people got a lot out of that. That's good. All right, guys, I'm going to get out of here. Y'all have a good one. I think the next call with me... Let me see what today is. Oh, by the way, everybody, tomorrow is Logan's birthday. Don't forget. I know you're all trick-or-treating and doing all your things, but tomorrow is the baby tiger's birthday. But we will have tomorrow at 9 a.m. in the Facebook group, the Hunger Scale Q&A. We're going to be talking about Hunger Scale because it is on the clock week. So we're going to see what all is going on with you guys with that. And that's it. All right. You guys have a good one. Bye, y'all.